Hey there, this is Fish and Frank, and we're getting ready to do another radio fishing right here. We've got Captain Larry, we've got Captain Kale, we've just got a lot of stuff going on here at Radio Fishing today. This studio audience is here, they're all hyped up, they're ready to go. I can't tell you, it's been an amazing week at Fish and Frank's. These are the days you kind of live for. I just walked through the store a minute ago, and we've got five people on the floor. They're all working with customers. Everybody's talking about catching fish and having fun. And we got a guy in the bait room who's just steady taking shrimp orders. And I got to tell you, this is a nice day. I mean, it started off cold, but it got nice.
'Tis the season.
Yeah. Well, happy holidays, and welcome again to Wishing I Was. Welcome again to Radio Fishing. I can't even remember the name of my own damn show, you know? Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. Go ahead. Try that, Captain Larry.
I said it's because you're wishing you were fishing.
Well, there he is.
Well, I had that. I had a TV show wishing I was fishing for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, something like that, on my TV show. And so it's hard to get used to that. You got a case of the droops there, bud.
I got it.
Hang on a minute. We can fix that. There you go. All right, you know, microphone trick. So, Captain Kale just got off the water. Larry, you been out fishing here lately?
Yeah, I just came in back in with another client that wanted to learn a little bit more about the Pirate Harbor area, like our previous trip. He had heard on the radio, on web radio, and he's...
Radio Fishing. Don't even know the name of the show, isn't it?
So it's on Radio Fishing.
This show is so good. It's so popular. Everybody knows its name. Radio Fishing.
Okay. So he's on Fishing Frank's website, and he's listened to the show and immediately came in and said, listen, I heard what you did with the client before. He goes, can we reproduce it? You know, the best laid plan, like you and I had talked about one time, can quickly, change on you. I went into the one area that I capitalized on, and obviously there was a boat sitting in there, followed us in, and then we went on the other side, and we started chasing some snook around.
Cool. And we got the other side, you mean the west side of the harbor?
No, actually, on the other side of Pirate Harbor, there's the north side and the south side.
Gotcha.
So I started off on the north.
I'm assuming it has four sides.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That was like, okay, shut him up.
Too easy.
Too easy. Okay. Well, Kale, you're being awful quiet over there.
Just listening to Larry's story. I want to, you sit back and you listen to other guides, and then you kind of pat your own self on the back.
Okay.
We had a phenomenal day up the river. The only really big change is that my snook hole was full of redfish, and it was full of some really good-sized redfish. The first one we caught, 30-inch redfish, which is pretty good. I mean, how often do you find bold redfish upriver this time of year?
That's very cool.
I mean, usually you're picking through those little guys just trying to find a legal one, let alone it's one that's too big to keep.
I mean, fishy, big fishy.
Yeah.
I mean, upriver, every once in a while you find a couple of those bigger fish, but for the majority of it, there's a... You know, it's where they grow up. The eggs hatch, the fry try and swim as far up in the creeks and rivers and try and get away from the bigger predators.
Yep.
And they try and get away from the saltwater predators. So they're looking for fresh water to grow up in. And one of the climate change things that's happened in this area over the last few years has been we don't get the rain we used to have. The rainy season doesn't really come like it used to.
Yeah.
This year was exceptional. We had a lot of rain that provided a lot of habitat for these smaller redfish. But that's why they're up there, literally looking for fresh water to escape the saltwater predators.
And I see the change. Before I moved down to Florida, when I was in high school, we used to come down, and do the vacation thing in Florida for a week or two. And I remember... even in the wintertime, because that's when we would come down, it was always summertime, storms, those 5-minute, 10-minute rains every day that you don't see anymore.
But the good thing is everything's working out. We had a great year for rain this year. Lots of redfish up the river.
Oh, yeah.
Even Larry found fish today. I mean,
wow. Ow.
Oh, man.
Boot to the head.
You're that blind squirrel everybody keeps talking about.
Yeah, he finds a nut. Oh no, we got into the snook again. We probably released 8 snook, and then we found some trout, some keeper trout, and some flounder, you know, right there, right as you're coming in. We were using the shrimp. What do we got here? This is a brand new product, Frank. It's on the shelf. All the customers that I know of are grabbing them up. I have one, and the guy I was fishing with, he has one. It's a Savage Gear, the 3D TPE shrimp, and they won't let it go.
Really?
They won't let it go. I had a real shrimp sitting next to, you know, we were fishing both sides of the channel, and the real shrimp was doing well, but this artificial that we're using right here is worth every penny that you
can. Well, it better be, because it's quite a few pennies for that little shrimp.
Yeah, it's over $6 for the shrimp, but Savage Gear came out with these. We've got all the colors and all the different sizes and everything. I wait when I'm ordering products because we have so little room to put stuff up. I mean, we've got 10 pounds of stuff in a 5-pound bag.
Yep.
And I had about 6 requests for these over a couple of months. And so I said, okay, when we buy, we try and buy them all. And it's a very cool looking shrimp. I mean, it's very realistic looking with the antennas and the flipper and everything. And it's rigged on a weedless worm hook.
Yep.
That's a little different. It's got a lot of notches in the tail, so it's got a lot of vibration and flip to it.
Man, they're so realistic. They make me hungry just looking at it.
I got to say, it's so realistic, I'll probably never throw it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm looking at it going, that looks just like a real shrimp. I'll probably never use that. I don't know why, but I throw the DOAs and all these other ones, and which look like a shrimp, but not, I don't know, but I've never had good luck with stuff. Everybody I fish with, they throw these things that look perfectly just like this, just like that, and I can't do well with them. I get the dumbest looking thing you can find. I guess you got to match yourself.
Well, trout are not letting go of this. We could not get a trout to let go of this.
That's cool.
We had one dragging behind a boat and in a rod holder.
So and Captain Larry says, come down and spend a lot of money on Savage Gear shrimp down here at Fish and Frank's.
Or get a dozen live baits.
Now, are you enhancing those anyway? Are you putting any scent on them?
Nothing like pure Pro Cure or anything. Okay. We're just using them straight out of the box.
Well, that's pretty cool for a plastic bait. That's saying a lot.
I'll have to give it a try because I'm not a fan of artificial shrimp at all. I don't care who it's made by or what flavor it is and what it tastes like. I never do any good on the DOAs, the gulps, none of that
stuff. See, I can catch the heck out of fish on a DOA, and it's the one fake shrimp. The only other fake shrimp I ever did well on was the Salty Dog. And they haven't made Salty Dogs for like 18 years now.
I get that DOA deadly combo, I take that plastic shrimp off and put a real one in its place.
And I know. I catch every fish in the world on that DOA deadly combo with that plastic bait on there. But it just goes to show you. Now, Larry's doing great with the Savage Gear, that new natural, unbelievably realistic looking shrimp. Kale, he just doesn't use them at all. And me, I use the DOAs because they don't make a Salty Dog anymore, and DOA is my go-to shrimp.
With my track record, I'm not going to spend $7. Look at $7 for something that ain't going to work.
Well, it's not $7.
For me, it's not going to work.
So. Okay.
Maybe I'm going into it with the wrong attitude from the start.
So now we had two captains both doing instructional trips today, and instructional trips are becoming very, very popular. We started these a while back because when you come down and you hire a captain to take you out on the water, it's great, but their boats can do stuff maybe your boat can't. And they can go places that maybe you can't. Or they're putting in it, they're fishing out of Placida because there's so many fish out there at that moment, but you really want to learn the area like at Pirate Harbor or upriver or the Alger Bean or Lemon Bay or one of these. The hard part about it is trying to get a jump ahead. When you spent your whole life fishing, like, say, in Pennsylvania on Delaware Water Gap or one of those, you know every fish, rock, tree, stump by its first name.
Yeah.
Then you come down here, the fun part is learning, but it is nice to get a class and having somebody take you out, show you where to go, what to do specifically for each spot.
Yeah, you know, let's face it, you know, we are a big retirement area. You know, these guys.
This is God's waiting room.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people here have spent their entire lives fishing elsewhere, and they don't have the time to learn these fish from scratch like they did when they were a kid, because that's a lifetime's worth of knowledge that they have fishing elsewhere.
Oh, yeah. You're trying to explain to these, well, I don't know anything about what I'm doing. I said, well, if I went where you grew up, I said, I'm sure you could teach me everything about it.
Yeah.
I said, but this is where we live. This is what we do best. And Cale and Larry both do the instructional trips on your boat. You drive. You mark your GPS. You literally learn to fish these spots, where they are and how to fish them. And you can also hire either of these guys to take you out and fish in their boats if you've got company coming down. You just want to have a great day on the water and relaxing and not have to clean the boat or do any of the things. Or if, you know, is it the case with most boats? If you haven't used it in 3 or 4 months, you go out to try and start it and run it, and the darn thing doesn't work.
Won't start.
Yeah.
Runs rough. The guy I had today grew up in Beaufort, South Carolina. So he's used to a lot of the fish that we have here. He's used to redfish. He's used to trout. He's used to sheephead. He's used to the cobia. And he just really needed to wrap his head around how the fish acted here, because they don't act the same way up there. The redfish don't behave here like they do in Louisiana.
First time I went to Titusville, took me a day to catch a fish. I mean, I spent all day fishing and finally caught him. Second day a little better. By the third day, I was rocking pretty good. But that's with somebody who's used to doing this, the same style of technique. I knew everything about it, but just the little differences for each area make a big deal.
And that was one of the things you just said, is little techniques and differences. Is we had changed up our retrieving 3-4 times today just to try to match what was going on with the weather. You know,
and that's one of the big things about hiring somebody to show you what's going on, is they understand. The captain, Larry or Cale, are going to understand, okay, we're going to try this, but now we're not going to do the same thing if it doesn't work. I mean, what does it say? Definition of insanity? Keep doing the same thing every time, expecting different results?
Yep.
So sometimes something as simple as that can make a big difference during the day.
And I was really surprised at how well the fish were biting given the moon phase. I didn't expect them to really turn on until probably later in the afternoon.
So,
and they started biting pretty much right off the bat, which was kind of surprising. Big, beautiful, clear day yesterday.
Yeah,
so
we have blue jay skies. Yeah, the winds northeast, 10 to 15 knots gusting, no water in the harbor, and you're hooking in a minute.
Yeah, but the full moon last night, that was really surprising to see fish that were hungry in the morning.
Okay, so here's the question. You guys both, you know, guests on the show. I got to ask. Now, I know you both went out today, but if you were going to go out today, where would you go? What would you use, and what would you expect to catch?
I would probably, with the outgoing tide pretty much all morning long, I would probably start inside the flats. And I would throw shrimp underneath a popping cork.
Okay, inside of which flat? Give me a flat.
I would probably go inside the east side. I would probably
by Pirate
start,
Harbor come north?
I would probably start a little bit north and work my way down to Pirate Harbor just because of the tide phase. Start up by Cormorant Key probably early in the morning.
It's easier to just go down the harbor, turn into the Pirate Harbor Channel, and then come back north. Count up about 4 or 5 islands and start there.
But I'll start up above and work my way down as the water falls, because it gets deeper as you get closer to Pirate Harbor.
Right. But what would you use? You're going to use live shrimp? You're going to use a lure?
We had a good east wind. So I'm going to put it right up against the mangroves. I'm going to let the wind blow me towards the sandbar. I'm going to put a shrimp underneath a popping cork. I'm not going to work it. I'm going to let it drift and pull behind the boat. And then I'm going to work probably a topwater or a suspending twitch bait.
And what's the target fish?
I would probably start looking for trout.
Okay. Now, Captain Larry?
4 to 6 foot of water. I'm sticking with what we were doing. We had a really good time.
Where were you?
We were outside of Pirate Harbor.
So you're going to go outside the bar, north of Pirate Harbor or south?
I'm going to stay pretty much in the channel of Pirate Harbor.
Right inside the
shutdown, right where it tells you to shut down, you know.
So you're going to come back into Pirate Harbor right at the mouth where the big island is and the deep hole right there.
Yep, right there, and fish that 4 to 6 foot water with the shrimp. Either you can use the live shrimp, or
you're going to be using the savage.
I'm going to be using the savage because I've got one tied on.
That's what we're asking.
It's got a Kevlar tail in it. It won't break off. You know, we got some pretty toothy critters today, and that shrimp did not move off of that hook at all.
I tell you what, that's really really impressive for a lure because those trout are hell on plastics, and I don't care who makes them, how good they are, how far you can stretch them in your hand. It doesn't matter. It all goes out the window when a trout grabs a hold of it. So I'm really, really impressed that Savage gear is holding up that well to trout. You used one all day long.
Well, yeah, the customer had one, and I had one.
How many trout did you catch?
We had probably six to the boat, six to seven.
Now how many trout did you catch total, even the little guys?
The little ones, I would say we had a dozen or more trout within the. But was it only like within 45 minutes that we were on the that
and
we were
you
fishing?
You fished one lure.
Yes.
That's unheard
good.
Of.
Yeah. That's good. So, okay, so you got where to go. Captain Larry with the Savage Gear Shrimp, Captain Kale with Live Shrimp under a popping cork, and just doing the drift, and he's throwing a 17 MR. He's casting it out because he's got his shrimp on the popping cork stuck in the rod holder. Yep. In the rod holder. Rodney D. Holder, our buddy, our pal, one who takes care of our rods while we fish with our lures. But anyway, this is Fishin' Frank, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of Radio Fishin'. We will remember the name of this show before it's over. But thank you guys so much for listening, and if you click on the picture of Larry, it will take you to his information. Click on the picture of Kale, take you to his information, and you guys can contact them about going out and fishing trips. And this is Fishin' Frank. Thanks for listening, guys.